We're the Night Shift Bandits. Join us and our sister podcast, Perspective Discussions, where they talk about love, life, and relationships on any platform that you can find podcasts. Also, like, comment, share, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We also have a Twitch channel, and you can donate to us on our GoFundMe and Patreon, where you can help us bring you better content. Our link tree is down in the description. Thanks for joining us.
Life's hard. Job sucks. People suck. Economy sucks. So you always find yourself just leaning back in those moments of freedom to a simpler time. Just you hanging out down the street doing the same old thing that you did last week. Nothing to do but talk to, and then it all ends, and then you punch the clock again. It's the Night Shift Bandits coming at y'all again, talking about one of those greatest shows that everybody always talks about that they don't know the name of. Starting us off.
But hey, everybody, it's us here, the Night Shift Bandits. It's me here, Professor Zach.
Master Honor Thomas, welcome back.
And then once again, coming at you, Bri the Cool Guy. How y'all doing?
And yes, as Bri the Cool Guy, the coolest guy in the room, has announced, yes, we are talking about that 70s show, in particular, season one. But before we get to that, hit us up, check us out, Night Shift Bandits, on everything at this point. We got your Facebooks, Twitters, TikToks, YouTubes, definitely hit up the YouTube channel, wink, nudge. Donate to his Patreon and GoFundMe, which also helps fund our other sister podcast, Perspectives Discussions, where we talk about love, life, relationships, and again, that's going to get a soft reboot very soon, so keep an eye out. But for right now, we're talking about that 70s show, which I'm the noob to this show, so this is my first time going through it, and yeah. Hilarious.
I have always been a casual observer since my younger days because my mom was obsessed with the show. In fact, both my dad, my stepdad, a lot of the adults in my life really liked the show because it was kind of the time when they were at that age. But you could still just sit down and laugh your ass off to the stuff that they get up to in that show.
But yeah, like me being like OG on this one, catching it the first episode, watching it all the way until it was for like 4 years. I went to college, and then during that time, catching it as much as I could. Yeah, it's a pretty big part of my life.
So I guess my history with that 70s show is that I would see my dad watching on occasion. And, you know, it never really attracted me. Like I said, I was a little kid at the time, so it wasn't something that caught my eye. Not saying that I didn't watch, like, TV with actual actors and real actors in it, because Lord knows I was watching, like, at least I was trying to watch Married with Children, because for whatever reason, my parents did not want me to watch that. Weird. But
that was you should watch that.
No, I have. I literally, no, oh, I just, no, okay. I didn't watch Married with Children.
Oh, okay. Well, if you don't know why they didn't want you to watch it, then you completely missed the point of
it. Oh no, I know. It's like but I mean, it wasn't that bad. I don't know. I was a kid who I didn't have like the same upbringing as you, Thomas, where it's like whatever, gore and sex, whatever. I was very mature for my age, but you know, parents have to be parents end of the day. But I really didn't give a damn.
True.
But.
Yeah.
And plus, like I said, my dad watched it, so always in my brain it was always like, not for me, but it's for you, so whatever. I'll go and watch The Simpsons. So, and I always dodged it up to this point because again, it had zero interest. And you know, I congratulated for its like 8 seasons, and then I know it had that 80s show which everyone hated.
Yeah, it was absolute trash. I remember watching the first episode and turning it off immediately.
Yeah, that's what I kept hearing. Like, it was a big uproar. It was similar to Game of Thrones, actually, in the final season with the finale. It was a very similar uproar.
Yeah, I didn't realize that. But yeah, it was very similar. Because, oh my God, that was just...
Yeah. So,
on both fronts.
Yeah, so it's like, okay, I really didn't have an excuse or a chance to watch it until you guys said, hey, let's do that 70s show. And I'm like, fuck it. We've all kind of been on our journeys of, yeah, I missed this thing. Let's check it out with our friends. Like, with you, with Thomas with Resident Evil, and Brian with most things.
Yeah.
So it's like, not to, like, put Brian out there like that, but, you know, we all have, like, our gaps in the culture, right? You know, so, and this is definitely one of many of mine, because I have a lot myself. And I'm kind of glad that we're going through this, because I think we're all just like, it's kind of, I don't know about you guys, and I'll talk about myself here. It's kind of cool seeing you all go through, again, Resident Evil, especially 7, which is on our YouTube channel, check it out, by the way. Through, like, fresh eyes, because I was born within the Resident Evil lore. You guys are learning. So it's kind of cool to see that. I don't know if you guys have, like, that same experience with anything else that we talk about where the other person missed out on it and they're discovering it for the first time. But it's kind of cool.
I haven't had that sort of experience.
That's shocking, because, I mean, I've learned a lot of things just hanging out with you guys.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're all learning off each other, experiencing new things that are old.
True.
Yeah, it's just kind of cool just to see, especially you guys, just discover or at least go along with the ride of, like, at least one of my favorite things, which is Resident Evil and some other stuff.
You know what? I do have to one thing to say then, because it'll be Brian with just learning how to play fighting games. Like, seeing it through fresh eyes, like, oh, yeah, I remember when I used to do things like that.
And it's like, you see him going through, like, the baby phase, you know?
Yeah. You're roasting. And I...
Hmm? Okay, casual roasting. Cool.
Oh, no, it's not casual roasting.
No, it's not casual roasting. Like, we went through this, too. It just so happens that when I went through it, I was 10.
Yeah, same. Like, literally... So, that's all. Literally, you're going through what we already went through years ago.
I'll say this, like, I can match any of you in Tekken for days, but when it comes to the games that you're all showing me, yeah, I got a lot to learn.
Oh, yeah, I'm really good at Tekken, so.
I haven't played you very much in Tekken.
Like, don't fuck with my Lily. Please don't fuck with my Lily.
We should do that.
Tekken is out.
Play something. Oh, yeah, I have 7. Eight is... gonna be coming out soon, so I'm not putting any money towards 7.
No, I have all the DLC for 7, so we're good.
Oh, okay, cool.
All right, but yeah, back to that 70s show. So I mean, let's just hop it right into it. So this show, as I said it before, is hilarious. And it's funny too, because you expect the pilot and season 1 of a show to take a moment to ramp up and to actually find his voice and his footing. And I feel like since the pilot on up, I've gotten a few laughs, like quite a few laughs, you know, and they immediately show you what the show is about, at least within the first 5 episodes, which is pretty much a show's thesis statement, essentially. Like,
yeah.
Like, you get, like, the fun editing, you get the fun shots, especially when they're in the circle, you know, smoking or doing whatever. And
they're smoking in the circle.
Or the after shots of when Eric goes and talks to his parents and he's trying to focus on what they're saying, but in the background, everything's going crazy.
Walls moving. Like the scene where his dad wants him to do some chores for the day.
Oh, yeah. Like, so I want you to go sweep the, sweep the garage, clean leaves out the gutter, and one other thing. Yeah. No, 2 other things. And he just kept getting them all mixed up.
And he spent like 5 minutes just trying to get it all together. His dad like, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly.
And then he got it right, and then reneged on it, and then got it wrong. It's like, bro, Christmas.
Like, yeah, you had it right, but you know what? I know why you did that. You just finished the circle. Yeah, so.
And that's the worst thing that can happen. I think that definitely happened to me a couple of times where it's like, you finish drinking or smoking and then parents come up unexpectedly. You have to put on the best poker face you can.
But like, and it's all futile.
It is.
I didn't have that sort of thing because I've been drinking for a while, so I could handle my liquor, and I didn't smoke until I was an adult, so.
Same.
I mean,
none of that really affected me.
Say that again?
I didn't even start drinking until I was an adult. Like.
Oh.
Yeah, same, actually. Yeah. Same. But
I started way earlier.
I had alcohol before when I was a kid, but like, only a little bit every now and then. Like, wasn't crazy with it. Plus, every time I got caught, that mom and dad kicked my ass if they ever found out.
Every time that I've had any, except for one time, was given to me by an older family member. And the one time it wasn't, it was because I was getting drinks for people at a New Year's Eve party. And I was 10.
Oh yeah, let me tell you about the time I was like six and drunk out of everybody's bottle of beer and covered myself in chocolate pudding.
Okay, I think we're going to have a whole podcast about like drinking stories from when you were kids. That sounds like a really good topic to have.
That's literally the whole story I remember. I'll have to consult my father to get the other details.
Find out the details.
And I literally have a picture of me yelling to God, to Lord knows who, with my hands like stretched out as if I'm an evil villain, covered in pudding. Like, they literally saved that picture. I'm pretty sure my dad still has that picture. It's probably sitting up on his desk.
That's hilarious.
Proudest moment of my
life. You should make that. You should probably make that like the thumbnail to this if you keep this in here.
I should not.
That would be hilarious.
But yeah, no, it's just moments like that in that 70s show where they fuck with the editing, and I love it. I'm in love with it. Another thing I love is when they actually copy off of famous pieces of artwork. Like my favorite, and I've seen most people do the Last Supper very well.
Oh, that moment when they did the Last Supper, that was very
especially when Mila Kunis just comes in and like, you guys are idiots, and she's just like, and then just
like, why are you all sitting on the same side of the table? Like that when she came in and said that, that's when I had it going on in the background. So I looked up and I was like, oh, this scene. Bro. And yeah. Man,
I saved that screenshot because it's so hilarious.
Watch this.
They do have a lot of screenshotting moments. The stuff that would be like good for a wallpaper or background.
Yeah, and then when they went to Philly's, was it? Wasn't that restaurant called Philly's? Or am I tweaking?
I think they were supposed to go to Philly's, and it was like the Golden Horse or something like that that they were going to. Some restaurant, regardless, it burned down and it's now like basically Bennigan. If you don't remember Bennigan's, it's like Fridays, but wilder.
Yeah, and wasn't it more Irish too?
Yeah, very Irish themed. Lots of brick and back.
Bennigan's was very Irish.
The one that I went to when I was a kid, because there was one near our house, so we went there all the time. Like, there was an island bar and bric-a-brac all over the place. And then I saw the movie Waiting. And as it turns out, the person who wrote the script for that movie was a hooker who did bar at that very Bennigan's. That's why when I saw that, I'm like, why does this look like the Bennigan's down the street?
So, wait, I didn't realize that Waiting took place in Florida.
I don't even think it didn't even specify where. Like, it didn't look like the Bennigan's at all, because my Bennigan's was like at the edge of a strip mall by a supermarket, and this is just a random place in a parking lot. So, like, I don't think location mattered. But when I looked inside and I saw how it was laid out, it's like, why does this look like the old Bennigan's I used to eat at when I was a kid? Like, why is it so nostalgic to me? And then I finally learned that it was in fact written by someone who worked in that very Bennigan's back in Sarasota where I grew up. That was wild.
That's hilarious.
Early, I think, I don't remember her origins. I know it was a woman that wrote it.
It was a very funny movie, not like the sequel.
Yeah, the sequel sucked. Like the first movie was great. But that's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
That's that new show.
Well, and another painting that they did was Nighthawks, which that actually ended up being a very funny episode. Because I'll say this, I like it when the parents are on screen doing their thing. You know? Like, Red. Yeah. I want to say, no, I'll put it out there. Jackie's my favorite character, but Red is definitely a close second. And
really, yes,
and then Kitty, fuck it, they're like neck and neck, you know.
I was gonna say Kitty, actually, like all the adults on the show, Kitty, Red, Bob, and Midge, all hilarious for various reasons. But they are all my favorites. Out of the kids, though, I'm going to have to go with Hyde and... Yeah, I'm with you on Jackie. I had to think of Michael Kelso yelling her name for me to remember her name.
For me, it's definitely going to be... Definitely, for the kids, it's definitely... Hyde, Eric, and then Fez.
Yeah. Fez has his moments.
Oh, yeah. Fez definitely has his moments, but...
It's when the best moments for Fez is when he is with Hyde and they're messing with Kelso.
I want to say that his best moments are those unexpected moments where you see, like, oh, he's really good with the ladies.
Yes, like, and then they hint at it too, because he'll just point out some shit that the other guys won't get, right? He'll literally say, oh yeah, she wants you. And they'll be like, wait, what?
Yep. And he's just like, oh yeah, you didn't see with all the... And they're just like, wait, how did you know that? Yeah. That's Fez.
Yeah, Fez is dope. Like,
I said, I said, Disco sucks. Ox, since you put your tongue down my throat.
All that tongue. Tongue. But no, like my favorite clip with Fez. Again, we talked about this off mic, Thomas. That we all talked about this off mic. That when they're at the prom and Fez is like, oh man, I don't have any luck with the ladies. So you talk, and he's talking to his music teacher, who's of course a black woman with a fro, so you already know where this is going. He tells her, like, you know, you tell me about music, but not in luck with the ladies. Then, you know, she starts singing, killing it. And Fez is over there doing his moves, breaking it down. I remember there was another episode where, hell, he was practically in a Soul Train line. Killing it, you know, like my boy Fez, he's cultured even though he's not from this country.
Yeah, like he knew how to respect Eric's grandmother.
He respected Eric's grandmother.
Like straight top. Yeah, came in there and was like, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he was rubbing her feet.
Yeah, he was enjoying that a little bit too much. They both were.
Yeah, it was kind of weird to see like that. Well, thinking back to like, knowing how people were back then and then seeing that scene was like, oh, wait, what? it's confusing, but it's like in a good way.
And the thing is, it is, but I think that's just the character. Okay, so I have a list of questions for you guys, right? Again, season one, only seen season one of Best 70s Show. I don't know what the hell's happening in the future, but it's a sitcom, so I care about spoilers, but not really, if that makes sense. But, you know, pretty much feel free to answer any question I ask to the fullest extent. So do we ever find out where the hell Fez is from? Or do we just keep that joke going?
I think it just keeps going.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, just keep
good,
going.
Good, good.
You do, however, find out what Fez means.
Really? Okay. Cause I feel like that's the best part of the joke that is that character. Is because we just don't know. And it seems like I'm trying to get like a handle on his culture. Because he always says, oh, in my country we do this, in my country we do that. It's a little bit of everything. So it's like, yeah, where are you from?
Okay, so here's something to that 90s show, which I also recently watched. They still call him Fez.
I saw a picture of him.
I'm just saying. Yeah, they still call him Fez. Everyone still calls him Fez. You still don't know.
Nice.
You still don't
but
know.
But is he a citizen at that point? Okay.
Yes, I believe. They don't go into citizenship. But he is living in Point
Okay.
And
okay.
He does have his own business, if I recall.
Okay, okay.
He does.
Because I did see him, I did see a picture of him in that 90s show. And I was like, oh shit, Fez got a glow up. Even though.
Oh, Fez got a super glow up in that 90s show.
So I was like, bro, you're probably getting all the ladies right now.
I think there was a point where he was.
But.
I don't know if it's in that 90s show, though.
I haven't watched it, so I don't know. I'm probably going to. You know what? I might just go through the whole gambit. When I finish that 70s show, go to that 90s show just to experience that and then get that 70s show. I might just do that.
Luckily, you're not going to be, well, you might get some callbacks that you won't really know. You might recognize that person, but that's about it. I think there, if you're watching the first season, there's going to be one character you have no idea.
Oh no, I'm talking about like going through seasons 1-8 of that 70s show and then going through the other ones.
Oh, okay.
Like, hop right. No, hell no. I'm going through the whole thing just like everyone else did.
That could work.
Yeah.
No, I'm good with that.
So, just to experience and see what's going on. And hell, I may do the same thing with Game of Thrones. But I have yet to watch one episode.
Oh, if you want to watch Game of Thrones, I will rewatch Game of Thrones.
No, that's fine with me too.
All right.
So I too can be mad at the finale.
I watched like 2 episodes of it and I'm like, yeah, you know what? This is a little too much for me. No, thank you.
Oh, wait, is it true that Game of Thrones just has an opening scene? I assume it's Peter Dinklage getting head from somebody.
No, what's the spoiled brat's name again?
Which one?
The little blonde boy, Oi, with a Napoleon complex.
Oh, isn't he the one that everybody wants?
Joffrey.
Yes, yeah. Joffrey. That's the one. Yeah. I saw his parents, and that was a bit much for me.
Oh yeah, the twins. They was banging. This is a really popular scene. You see it at the end of the first episode. It is not that big of a surprise after 10-12 years. Yeah, so they're banging in some tower.
I have issues with incest, okay?
Understandable.
Yeah.
This kid climbs up a tower, sees these two high-ranking royals banging, and he knows that they're brother and sisters because, you know,
can
they're
back
twins.
To that 70s show, please.
Then he gets pushed out of the window.
Nice. Oh yeah, speaking of banging, remember that one time Eric saw his parents banging?
I do. And he was horrified. Like, later on in the show, in that episode, Lori consoles him. Which, they're going at each other's necks this entire time when she's eventually brought in. And no. She's like, oh my God, you saw her. I am so sorry. Gave him a hug and everything.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wait, she's actually being nice. This isn't a trick.
Yeah. Oh, wait. There's something else that I did want to bring in since we're talking about their siblings. Donna has a sister. I didn't remember that.
You know what? I thought I saw something about that while I was looking up characters.
Yeah, Donna has a sister. When she met everyone, Fez tried to hit on her.
Of course.
And then Donna was like, she's 14. Where's her sister the rest of this time? I would have thought that she would have been hanging out with the rest of them. This is not that big of a city.
It's a town.
The vibe I get is that this is literally a small town. Because, like...
That just proves my point even more.
Because, like, whenever you make a big deal about going to Kenosha, you live in the... You don't live anywhere. You live out in the middle of nowhere.
They made a big point about going to Milwaukee one day. I've been through Milwaukee, and I was like, I don't even want to stop here.
Which part of Milwaukee?
All of it.
Damn.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of, like, something that's not wrong with it.
Dead silence.
I'm going to go ahead and chalk that up to Chicago bias, but...
You can wholeheartedly chalk that up to the Chicago bias.
I don't blame you. We're bougie.
Because I know the beer is a whole nother level in Wisconsin. Like, Jesus fuck.
Yeah.
I don't know about that either.
Not a big beer that I had...
I mean, if you're a beer drinker, congratulations. That's just not my jam. I'm more of a hard cider kind of guy. So, you guys can have that.
I prefer a whiskey or a tequila.
Yeah.
Or a scotch even.
Yeah, see.
Or if you have the moonshine.
Oh, I love moonshine.
Mm-hmm. Good old shine.
But, oh, so.
Anyway.
Here's an... This has one of those episodes where... You know, the kids get drunk. And it's not the kids' fault. Since, you know, we were still talking about siblings at that point. Lori pours a bottle of vodka in the punch. And none of the kids know it. Eric definitely gets in trouble for it. But going back to Fez being a ladies' man. Yeah. That episode, he had all of Jackie's friends around him. Yeah, they were drunk, but...
I thought Jackie was there too.
She was. She eventually popped up.
Which I'm like, my boy but, Fez in there.
Yeah. My boy Fez was in there like, yo, I got every lady here surrounding me except Donna.
Literally.
Donna was the only one not drinking punch.
Like, good for Donna, because, yeah, it was spiked to hell. Because didn't she put in, like, a whole bottle? Yeah.
She dropped a whole bottle of rum.
Yeah, man. Like, oh geez.
This is how you jungle juice.
It wasn't even jungle. Okay, so the amount of liquor that she put in there is...
I know.
Maybe.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Let me have my moment.
Yeah.
I'm just talking shit. Come on, trying to get the funnies in.
Yeah. Let him get his funnies in, Thomas.
My bad. I'm just concerned about that level of alcohol that's in that bowl.
For one, that shows how old you are. Because why are you concerned about level of alcohols for teenagers? They don't care.
Well, I'm concerned about it for, like, if I was...
Who cares?
True.
Okay, we'll be fine the next day. We're 16.
All
right. I kid. But, But no, like, it's just... Okay, so let's have this conversation about why Kitty is so obsessed with parties. Because, like...
Okay.
She's a 70s housewife who literally lives off the money her husband makes, and...
No, she doesn't. She's a nurse.
No, she's a nurse.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot that she works, too.
Like, literally, the Career Day episode, like... You see her job and you see what she goes through as a nurse. And see, again, the reason why I love the parents is because...
Oh, wait. I want to bring up a scene real quick. Sorry. That scene that when Eric's like, they're driving home and he's asking her, how do you deal with this? And she just singing her song. I was literally going
to start this. Get to that.
Okay.
But go ahead.
Yeah. So that scene was like, okay, how do you deal with this, Mom? She keeps singing the song. No, but like, how are you dealing with this? And she just keeps going on. And then she turns it into a...
Exactly. This is how you deal with this, son. Because what I was going to mention was the fact that I really like the Career Day episode. And the main reason why I love the parents is because the parents are characters. Red's that hard-ass father. Kitty is that loving mother who's just obsessed with parties. But especially with the Career Day episode, what it showed is that there's more to them and they are loving parents at the end of the day. Like, for example, like you said, the scene that you mentioned where literally Eric's like, Mom, how do you deal with this? She's singing for a reason because you're watching people die and be sick and coming to you. And, you know, even at work, they're cracking jokes and shit because that's our way of unwinding because this job is very depressing.
If you've ever worked in a hospital, and you see the amount of bullshit that a nurse goes through, man, there's a reason why they make the money they do. And it's still not enough. Like, I couldn't do it. Like, I'll give you a story right now. Like, it was just a couple nights ago. I was doing my usual thing in the recovery wing, and the nurses were dealing with the most unruly customer, patient. You know, fuck, what's the difference?
No, I think customer is the proper term for medical aid nowadays.
And of course, he's in the hospital. He just got out of surgery, and he's just yelling at them. He's telling them, no, 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 I don't want anything. And stop. And like these aren't those typical pretty little. I'm gonna go get that for you right now. They're like that. These are the nurses that have been doing this for a really long time. And like. They got kids in college. They got kids who graduated from college, and they don't give a fuck. Like you're gonna give an attitude with them, they're not gonna help you. You don't give don't give your nurses attitudes.
I never understood why people would do that. I mean you're there because you need their assistance. Like
you can say that for everything.
Of course, nurses are gonna crack jokes about that shit because that's how you cope. Like I kind of rambled into nothing whenever I had sessions, but
oh no, like literally working in call centers, while it's not like working with nurses, it's very similar because people can't see when they talk all kinds of shit. So we always crack jokes about them. We always like have our music blasting when after work type stuff because people will tell you the most hurtful stuff over the phone because they did not pay their bill on time.
Like, thank God.
Yeah, I experienced that while I was working.
Thank God I can play music at my job.
I mean, yeah, but it's something about being outside of that environment. Like,
yes.
It's just literally something about being out of that environment. Believe me, like, I've been through that with call centers, and I know the doctors and nurses got it worse because I used to take calls for them. They would always call us with an attitude, which was, you know, some of the time it was because they were being snobby and because, oh, I'm a doctor, respect me. Whatever.
No.
You can kind of get the ones who are frustrated with the patient. It's like, okay, I understand you.
This is a city, dude. No one gives a fuck what your status is.
No, doctors have a certain snobbiness to them because they're a doctor. Believe me, I took calls for them.
I'm just saying, no one's going to take you seriously even if you say you're a doctor because you're not hospital.
Exactly. Like, but anyway, back to that 70s show. But that's the reason why I love the parents is because you have those character building moments where they're like, you know what? We're parents at the end of the day, but we're still human. Like, for example, another scene in the Career Day episode is when, you know, Jackie's a sophomore while everyone else is like a junior, senior. So she was hanging out with Red and she was learning how to work on cars. And, you know, Red literally said, Eric, she's the only one of your friends I finally found, like, one of your friends that I actually like. And when Karen goes, she's not really my friend. Jackie, I forget what she said exactly, but she's like,
it was like, that's one.
And then Red.
And earlier in that, yeah. Oh, no.
Then Red's like, you know what? I like you. That's how you do that.
So earlier in that episode, she sees Red doing that to Eric, I believe. Mm-hmm. And she literally picked it up from him. So it's just that callback right there. Like, oh, she's definitely learning from him.
Yeah.
They got a connection right there.
And it's kind of cool. I like those weird connections because you don't expect someone like Jackie and someone like Red to be friends, right? But it's like, okay, we're finding that one thing that we connect to, and then now we have like a badass relationship. Because I felt the energy of, I think Red probably likes her better than his own daughter.
Oh, absolutely.
You can feel that connection. Because I think like that's what every father wants, like for their daughter to pretty much know how to take care of themselves and teaching them those skills, you know? And so it's like when your daughter's in there working in the car with you, it feels pretty badass.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's...
And with Lori, she's always asking and taking. Jackie actually sat there and, you know, helped him out, learned something from him.
Right.
So, I can totally see that. And you see that with Lori throughout the entire series, just really being a bitch.
In all honesty, I love that scene where Kitty was, they were all in therapy, or quote unquote therapy, I should say. And Kitty just literally just let it all out about Lori. Like, you're a spoiled brat. You come over on the weekends too often. You probably flunked school, which at that point, they didn't know if she did or didn't. And...
Well, Eric had been saying that throughout the entire season that, oh yeah, you flunked, and she's been freaking out about it.
I mean, we know, the audience know, but she was keeping it from the parents.
So
they
the parents
know at this point, but they, you know, their parents, they know. You were here most of the time anyway. Like, come on, we know what's going on. But they don't have any hard evidence about it because she keeps stealing the mail.
Yep.
But it was kind of cool just seeing Kitty just go off and say, huh, that felt great.
Another one that I liked was after Red had lost his job, Bob goes over and talks to him and says, hey, you want to work for me? And it's not charity or anything, but then Red is like, charity? Because that's all he heard. It's instead of saying, you know, it's not charity. Like, you don't have to just be an employee, is what Bob was trying to say. And Red goes off on him. But later on in the episode, he takes the job. And then you see him working in Bob's store later on. Like, that's like some character development between the parents and not just the kids and the adults, but adult to adult. So it's showing you how that interaction would be around that time too.
Yeah, and it is funny how, and I think one of the strongest things in this show is definitely, of course, the characters. It's a sitcom, right? But how they still respect what happened during the times. Of course, the biggest one for me was like the whole feminist movement during that time, right?
With Midge taking those classes. Midge
taking those classes. Donna, she's young, so she's fully embracing it, right? Her and Jackie have like their little like back and forth about it. But, you know, and Bob just.
Because Jackie's more traditionalist.
And then Bob's just like, no, that's stupid, blah, blah, blah. Why are you doing that? You got me. And it's not like it's coming from, and I'm kind of glad how they painted that. They're not painting him as like a total villain to it, but as someone who would have the mentality of like, you know, I'm taking care of you. You know, why do you need to go off and do this? You don't need to do it. You know? And am I not enough? And I feel like that's more realistic instead of demonizing him because of the fact that at the end of the day, you married this woman and that is your wife and you had a child. So you don't hate her because she's doing this. You may get frustrated, you may get disappointed, but you wouldn't hate the person or be the villain. You would say, like, you'll be a man about it and say, is that not enough for you? You know, you don't need to do that. What are you doing? This out of whack, blah, blah, blah. You're used to what you're used to. And this is some new stuff that's coming on with the times. you know? And I don't know if later on he just comes to terms with it. I imagine he does. But, you know, it's kind of cool how they framed that. I liked it. I really like that.
I'm not going to give any clues on how that happens. Just keep watching. I
mean, yeah, that's fine.
It is. It does. Something happened. So, yeah, you're on to something.
Yeah, so, I mean, to me, it's kind of cool how they still say, okay, this is still the 70s and this is still going on. Hell, Star Wars episode is a prime example of that as well. You know, everyone's seeing Star Wars for the first time. And it's funny because, who was it? I want to say Hyde was making the joke where, and I think this is the scene where they were all high. Hyde was making a joke that like, yeah, you know, Han Solo was looking, I think likes Leia. He was looking at her pretty good. And everyone else is like, no, you're stupid. Luke, they kissed at the bridge, her and Luke. No, little did they know. They'll find out in a few years.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that shows like how people could be right about a movie, and then the majority is just like, no, that's not how it is. And literally years later, I was right this whole time.
I can't wait. So do they do the whole Star Wars trilogy throughout the season?
That I don't remember. I'm not a big fan of Star Wars at all. So yeah, I have no idea.
Okay. So because that would be kind of cool if they just revisit it with each and every movie. I know some of that kind of goes into the 80s as well. But eight seasons, something tells me a part of the series will take place in the 80s, but they'll still call it that 70s show. So I don't know how they're going to do that, because this takes place in 76.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're just going to like, if each season is just a different year or what.
I'm going to let you know right now, each season is not a different year. It just goes on concurrent.
Okay, so.
Or consecutively, I should say.
So it kind of does stay in the 70s. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So probably not to my question in regards to Star Wars. But
yeah.
But again, like, I think like the whole 70s aesthetic is pretty cool. Like, and you kind of forget, especially since we're living in the year 2023. And at this point, you know, we've had phones and all kinds of technology around us. And it's kind of cool just to see the simpler times, quote unquote, if you want to call it that.
Because I mean, they didn't have cell phones, right. They didn't have the internet. They had to, you wanted to write up a paper, put pen to paper and write it.
Yep. Do it the old fashioned.
You maybe had a typewriter, but those things were expensive.
Yes. Hell, you had to pass notes during class.
I
remember doing that.
Instead of texting.
I remember doing that. You guys did not know the struggle. You kids do not know the struggle.
Boy. Not at all. Trying to make sure your teacher doesn't do that and they're looking directly at you. Woo.
You did not know the struggle of having to sneak and play your Game Boy underneath the desk.
I kept trying to Pokemon in biology class doing that.
See, I only got caught once, and thank God the teacher gave it back to me at the end of the class. Probably because she did not want to deal with it.
Oh, that's good.
My classes had way less people, so it was a lot harder to get away with that.
Oh, we were having whole Pokemon battles in class.
Oh, yeah. I definitely had whole Pokemon battles, trade sessions in class, in the front of the class.
Oh, you were bold.
I was very bold and very, very stealthy.
See, was it the fact that you didn't get caught or that the teacher just let you get away with it?
Probably the latter, because I was in the top three of the class.
Like, see, okay, yeah, when you're the top three of the class, you pretty much make your own rule at that point.
Yeah, it was like, all right, well, you're getting straight A's in this class, just like that guy and that guy that you're doing this with. Hey, I can do whatever you want.
Whatever. I do what I want.
Yeah.
But no.
Those are fun times.
But no. Before we close up here, like, it's kind of cool to see the origins of Eddie Brock, you know?
He would have made a much better Peter Parker.
Literally, I'm like, okay, now that I'm
much better Peter
going
Parker.
Back, I'm like, you would have made a much better Peter Parker. Why did you choose him for Eddie Brock? Granted, he didn't do a bad job. It was more about the writing.
No.
But
yeah, he didn't do a bad job. But if they would have just been like, oh, okay, you know, Tobey Maguire, yeah, you're cool. Wait, there's this other kid right over there. Let's make him Spider-Man. He looks just like Peter Parker, too. he, like, the whole physique and everything. They would have just been like, all right, well, you're this skinny kid. Work out a little bit. Make sure you got definition. Yeah. Throw on a costume. You're good.
Yeah, it's just very interesting because of the fact that you could choose anyone else. But this kid here made him Eddie Brock. Like, I kind of see why people were like, why him at the time? Because I didn't know.
Because Eddie Brock was a muscle head, essentially. Yeah. He's buff, big, like, played football in high school. And then you pick Topher Grace.
Yeah, and it's like, why? What was the decision behind that? I mean, again, he didn't do a bad job, but...
No. We're not knocking his performance at all. We're knocking the writing for that.
Because the writing for it was bad. And hell, Sam Raimi did not even want to add Venom to that. But anyway.
Yeah.
Hell, even that's now in that 90s show, I'm looking at a picture of him. That's Peter Parker grown up.
He exactly. That's just
literally, Peter Parker. I'm looking at him. That's Peter Parker.
It's because Don is next to him, isn't it?
No, like, not even that. I'm literally looking at a picture of him by himself.
I didn't realize that. Donna is a... Holy shit, they could have been Peter Parker literally. And Mary Jane. But...
Even though I don't see a Mary Jane with Donna, because Mary Jane... I feel like Donna...
Oh, no, she's not Mary Jane. Not. She's more like... I want to say... I could see her as Black Widow.
Nah, she's too conservative for me. Like, not conservative, but she's... Well, no, tomboyish, I should say. Like, I don't see her, like, I'm pretty sure she'll probably play, like, I don't know who she would play, actually. But anyway, but Eric, like, Topher Grace is definitely Peter Parker. This is Peter Parker through and through. Like, when I think of a generic Peter Parker design,
Topher Grace.
Literally.
He is the template for Peter Parker.
Brown.
It's just that Stan Lee didn't know.
Exactly. Brown hair, collar shirt. Pretty timid, skinny, smile, all of it. You know, so,
and then he has the wit too. So,
there you go. So it's all just, he should have been a Peter Parker.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh man, like, but everyone here does a great job. And it's kind of cool to see, like, all of these actors and actresses, like, in their younger days, like Ashton Kutcher.
Like The Rock.
Yeah. Oh, I'm glad you reminded me. I'm sorry. It warmed my heart when they went to the wrestling show and The Rock essentially played his dad. It warmed my fucking heart. I'm like, dope, dude. That's
now,
so dope.
Imagine watching that as a kid when The Rock was on TV. Yeah.
Man.
And then seeing him play his father. And you not knowing that his dad was a wrestler.
He had the afro, the mustache, he had all of it.
Yeah, that was me. And I was like, oh, I didn't know his dad was a wrestler too. And then I found out later that his grandfather was a wrestler. Yeah,
wrestlers in the blood.
Yeah.
Yep, because his daughter's a wrestler now.
And then what was funny about that was that The Rock said that, like, you know, I have a son. And one day he's going to become... What do you say? A wrestling icon?
The most electrifying. No. This is the Rock's thing. The most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
And which he is. Well, he's the most electrifying man in acting right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But he was, at one point, the most electrifying man in sports entertainment.
Oh, he was. Everyone talked about The Rock. Like, even I knew about The Rock and knew how iconic The Rock was. And I did not watch
Rock.
But...
I called many people who never watched a single episode of any wrestling jabronis, and they were like, I know what that
exactly
means.
Literally. Well, I mean, most of my wrestling knowledge just comes from osmosis anyway. Like, I know about Generation X, Edge. Actually, I saw Edge die. Yeah, what? I saw Edge die. Undertaker killed him.
Oh. I didn't know that was a storyline.
Yeah, it was an episode I caught because I was trying to get into wrestling. Then I was like, I like Edge. He's pretty cool. He spears everybody. And then Undertaker killed him.
Yeah.
And then Edge never came back. And I was like, oh.
Well, there was a real life reason for that. Edge hurt his back.
Sure. Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
But when you said that, it immediately had me think of Owen Hart and when he died. And I was watching that. So, yeah, it was like, wait, I don't remember any other wrestler dying in the ring like that. Because that was in the same era, essentially.
Nice. But any last words about that 70s show? Because I'm gonna lie, like, this is a nice classic, just funny, heartwarming sitcom.
Yeah, there's some, like, I guess I could go down and say probably one of my favorite skits ever with that 70s show.
Yeah.
And Kelso, like, I think Kelso was trying to be a police officer or something.
I don't know. I'm not familiar.
I think that's later on in the show.
Yeah, it was much later on in the show, but like, I just remember, like, I think he was just trying to be a cop, which it's Kelso, so I guess it makes sense.
Yeah, because
Hyde and Fez decided to mess with him and steal his cruiser.
Yeah, that's later on in the show. I didn't want to spoil Zach on any of that.
Like I said, it's a sitcom, so I really don't care about spoilers like that. I want to see it for myself, but you guys can say whatever.
It's just every moment that I see you with Hyde and Kelso in the same room, something amazing happens. Or really,
yeah, they get into some fights,
like, or even just any moment with Hyde in the room.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, for me, I don't know. I kind of want to say that I do like when guest characters come on, because then you get to see, like, there are more people in this town. But I think what they're trying to do is say this town is much bigger than what it is, because you don't see that many people, like, the same faces over and over
again. Yeah.
But in the community, you do.
Right. Probably because we're just focused on them. Hell,
yeah.
It's kind of cool seeing some guests pop up, like Joseph Gordon-Levitt popped up.
No. Yeah, I was actually about to say that one too.
Yeah, like, he popped up, and that was a hilarious episode. Like, wait, you're gay?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's why I kept spending time with you.
He was like, no. You kiss me and you're not gay?
Yeah, okay, I'm gay.
Like, what? That was one of the funniest responses to "you're gay" that I've seen on TV. Like, you're gay? No. You kiss me and you're not gay? Okay.
Like, you're not just gonna deny that after you kissed me. But oh yeah, and one last question I have for you all. So, again,
yeah,
don't really care about spoilers, kind of do, but not really. I'm pretty lax on it. It's whatever. You said later on, Eric, you said he gets replaced?
He gets replaced because he wants to go to Africa.
Okay.
Real life reason, Topher Grace wanted to go and do other stuff.
So what, they just don't have Eric in what, season 7 and 8, you said?
I think it started in season 7 and he was just there for the rest of 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some other dude who kind of looked like him, kind of acted like him, but you can tell, like, this is... He was like the Wish version.
Okay. Okay. Because I'm like, that would leave, like, a big hole. Like, a big black hole in the casting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It really okay. did. So.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's my last question for right now, because yeah, I definitely enjoyed the ride in, like, let me find out season one's the best season. But
I don't think season one's the best season. It definitely gets better.
That's good. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. But they definitely found their footing, like you said, within those first five episodes, because that's the feeling that you get throughout the rest of the series. Like, yeah, I'm there with them during all this. So, and you just get plopped right down into the action and you go.
Yeah, and it's just kind of cool how they did that and how they just hit the ground running. Because like I said, most shows, they don't find their footing. Some shows don't find their footing until like the second season. Some don't find it until episode six. Very few find it on that mm-hmm. very first episode. And I feel yeah. like they found it on that very, like, they knew what they wanted to do. They knew how to do it, and they just did it. Like, some episodes, of course, are funnier than others, but I don't really think there was a bad episode, at least in this first season. At least none I found bad.
I didn't find any bad. I found some that were just boring, like the political episode where the president came to town.
I found that hilarious.
I mean, it was a hilarious episode, but the topic was something that I just didn't
understood. Get. Like, literally, yeah. That's fine. You're going to have episodes like that because they also make episodes based exactly. on life itself. And again, things are happening right. in the 70s, right? Like, yeah. And I really liked that episode because, again, father-son moment, Red was teaching Eric to stand on his laurels. And Red did just that, even though he was nervous about it. But hey, he yep. did it, and it's Red. And it's like, yeah, I'm going to say what I believe because, yeah, fix the economy.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Like, do better.
Yeah, do better.
Yeah. So also, remember when I was telling you off Mike that the person who played Lori, she died?
Yeah,
she did die back in August of 2013.
Yeah, so rest in peace to her. Definitely, mm-hmm. definitely. But yeah, any other comments? Questions? I don't have any questions, but any more comments, questions, whatever?
No.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm good.
Cool. I will just end it here. And hey, thanks for listening to us, everybody. That 70 show, great show. If you have not checked it out, which I think I'm one of five people who have not, so the four of you guys who have not checked it out, go check it out. Hell, rewatch it. It seems like it's a culture phenomenon. Love it, love it, love it. I love, and there's something about that, like, late 90s going into 2000s writing that I just love. I think, how did my friend put it? We were more of a whimsical America around those times. Like, we weren't perfect.
Yeah.
But my God, we were not up in arms about certain jokes. We were just there to have a good time. And I feel like everybody was laughing around those times. But that's a discussion.
Kind of like the pinnacle of liberal thinking.
Well, I'm talking about, like, just the writing on sitcoms in general between the late 90s and the 2000s.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, we just... that's a whole different podcast. That's a whole different subject, but... I love that time in terms of comedies, and this just really solidified that opinion for me. That 70 show. So,
but yeah. Well, I'm glad that you watched.
Glad you guys forced me to watch it. Yeah, put that gun up to my head next time for something good.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
But Brian, you know what to do.
Thank you once again for listening to us. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe. Donate and subscribe. We're going to be punching out so y'all can punch in. Y'all have a great night shift. This has been the Night Shift Bandits.
Later, everybody.
Peace.